434-1790, Brass Decks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother D. How are you doing?
I do not hurt you.
I want to ask a question about this. Is this European Union a group of countries or there's one by
Europe? European Union is a group of countries in Europe.
In Europe?
Mm-hmm.
So
that we're not a part of.
Huh?
That we are not a part of.
Right, but they don't do nothing wrong?
That's neither here nor there.
I mean, they can just sit down and just look for other countries and see if they're doing something wrong to blacklist them?
No. They sit down and write a code of conduct for their members. That's what they do.
But as you said, Barbados is not a member of the European Union.
Correct.
So how would their conduct, how would their business got something to do with me?
Because, sir, the business we conduct may splash over into their jurisdiction. It may involve companies that work in their jurisdiction and have to work under their guidance and be good. It's supposed to be a fair dealing, fair trade. And you heard the experts this morning talking about it. The OECD.
I was trying to understand it. That's what you
understand called, what was not understandable for you, sir? If you have, let's say, for example, let's take Swiss banks.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's say Switzerland is a part of the EU. Mm-hmm. Right? And let's say you have Swiss banks who, in the past, would say to you, if you inquired about John Stout, would say to you, we don't know John Stout. If we knew John Stout, however, we would not tell you we know John Stout because our laws do not allow us to tell you who our clients are. Right? Therefore, if they wanted to continue to operate within the EU group, and the EU laws say you must say who these people are so you could find tainted money, they would either have to change their laws to match, or they would have to say, well, we are part of that, so our banks will have nothing to do with you, and they will blacklist you and blacklist your bank, and you won't be able to conduct business. Your clients' money will not be recognized when you try to send it to another bank, and those kinds of sanctions will be placed on you. Now, if you have one of those banks working in Barbados, working from Barbados, and they cannot send money back to their principals or transact business, they'd be affected and they'd move out to Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
So, it would be in our best interest not to be blacklisted.
Okay, well, I'm understanding it a bit, but still in fully. Well, you can't say how people can just sit down.
So they could do it because they have the power. That's all, full stop.
All right, right.
You want me to say it any other way?
That's what he was coming to. But this world is funny here with that time, Brother Devon.
So once you decide that you are going to be part and parcel of a global forum, the international space, you will have to either be strong and powerful enough to make the rules by which you are governed, or you adapt to the rules of those who have the power to govern. The mess that Britain is going through right now with Brexit to try to escape from the common market is a classic example. And Britain, you know, dot in the sea or 2x4 little whatever, they were world dominant kingdom a very short while ago, with tentacles stretched all over the world. They were known as a world power, which means they could make or break rules as they saw fit. Or how the mighty has fallen? Perhaps. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. Hi, yes, Dennis.
Hi.
I want to join you and thank you for your quick interview with the public relations officer from the SFA.
Carl Padmore.
Yes. Mr. Carl Padmore.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that he was asking for a few things from the householders. And this is three things I want to discuss with you. One of them is, I would like that he remind some of his, no, I use the word some, of the professionals that he has working with them who come about and remove our garbage. That when householders who buy or make receptacles to put the garbage in that has holes in the bottom and have a cover, that when they are placing them back in the spot they take them from, they do so professionally. And I'm saying professionally for a reason, because I see it as a profession. And I would want them to operate professionally and not toss it back anywhere so that if the householder is not home and the wind can blow it around and allow somebody to drive over the cover and then damage the cover. Right? So that's one. Two, I am thankful that you pushed the whole idea of a schedule, because to me this is very, very important, especially when it comes to the disposal of frozen meat and stuff that you might put into the garbage.
The ends of meat, yeah.
Yes. Yes, this is very, very important. We need to have a schedule. This is a must.
Yeah.
And in that, listening to him, and not only to him, but to generally officials now, it seems to me nobody wants to give you a timeline. And I want to say to them that timelines are important. Even if you miss the mark, you can reset it.
Mm-hmm.
You can reset it. Globally, people recognize Tesla and Elon Musk. Many times SpaceX and any project that he's dealing with miss the timelines. They miss them all the time. And they come back and reset them. But this hairy fairy thing that they operate on, where they say sometime in the future we will start this project, it's not good enough. This is not good enough. My next thing I want to touch on is the buses and the wheelchair access that we are saying these new electric buses have. I have a concern, and I know that you help a lot with the disabled community, and I wonder if it's something that has crossed your mind. Our infrastructure that I see we have in certain parts of Barbados, and I know it's challenging for us as a country, one, because of costs, and two, because of the terrain. For us to really appropriately, to believe that the buses that we have that are electric, that now have wheelchair access and all this kind of stuff, would be adequate for our disabled community. And I want to maybe, hopefully, someone from the transport board is listening, and I hope that they will not discontinue the special transportation that they had provided for the disabled community in the past. Because I do not see how having wheelchair access and access for the disabled community on the buses are going to be adequate, especially for those who are wheelchair-bound and live in areas where it's difficult to travel with their wheelchair on the road to a bus stop.
Well, let me say that perhaps you should listen. You should listen to me a little more often. I know you do, but you should listen a little more often. I'll tell you why I say that. When the buses came to Barbados and the operations, the wheelchair accessible, the fact they could kneel, the first thing I said was, let's make the amenities match the new buses. In other words, or sidewalks that are too high, where we don't have a proper descent, the lay-by is not properly constructed so that when the bus lowers itself, the wheelchair can go smoothly from the street or from the sidewalk onto the bus. Because the first time buses came to Barbados, when I got into a lot of trouble with all sorts of people, including members of the disabled community, who said that all I do is talk, and I don't come to church services and all kinds of things, and I pull my tentacles back in, because people tell me my skin thin, and I don't like to see blood, so I pull my tentacles back in. But The point I was making when they brought the first set of buses and the disabled community were disputing that the buses were adequate, what they said was that they needed buses with the extension of the back, which meant you could go around the bus and get into the bus with the back lift, because from the side, one, it had to come out so far that the bus would have to stop in the middle of the road because the lay-by, the space wasn't enough, and two, the distance between the lift and the road was wrong because our sidewalks were not built to specification. So going out in the area, for example, by Luther Thorne, going along the Wildy area, because parents park on the sidewalk, we lifted the sidewalk to, I don't know, heights that were not international standard. But then we bring buses that adapt to international standard. No, that doesn't make sense. Because then what we have to do now is, if we want to make the truly accessible and making them or disabled members of our disabled community, those who use wheelchair, and now we have motorized ones as well, is to make sure that we match international specifications so that our sidewalks are at a certain height, that the gradient, the slope, is of the correct standard, that we are liaise with the various agencies we've created, the Disabilities Unit, the Council for the Disabled, Ministry, etc., that these things are known, so that when you go to fix a sidewalk or to stop people parking on the sidewalk, you do not change the international specs. You do not allow some private owner in Sandy Lane to put dolos on the sidewalk because they don't want people parking in front of their mansion. But the visitors who come to Barbados and live on the Platinum Coast because they're wealthy enough to afford to do so and are on motorized wheelchairs have to go into the road and then go back and say, oh, I went to the Barbados and it was most uncomfortable for me because they have dolos in the sidewalk and I have to go into the road, when the person who put the dolos in the sidewalk is not a Barbadian. I don't know if they are. Perhaps they are. And if they are, my apologies to the visiting community. But we can't allow people to do it. And that has been there for years. And nobody has fixed it. And to me, that is where we fall down. That is where we expose our rear ends to be flogged by whomever it is who want to flog it. And then we say, it's unfair that we're getting flogged. It's not. It's like we're bending over and say, hit us if you dare. So I understand what you're saying, and I also want to tell you, I would like them not to discontinue the call if you need us to pick up service, because there are some people who don't have wheelchairs and who need to be assisted to, you know, wherever they need to go. Exactly. So they need that kind of transport. The other thing is, there are private owners who have not only the type of vehicles, but they do have wheelchairs, and they rent them. And therefore, they make a living getting people from one place to the other. So, you know, we spread the wealth around, but we also look out for those who are less able and less fortunate than we are to work.
And we would need this. I really want to know what the intention of this, because I am not disabled. No, fortunately, no one in my family is disabled, but it is concerning to me, because if we do not, as a society, look out for the most vulnerable, we are wasting time.
Sir, and it could happen to you tomorrow. It could happen to anybody tomorrow.
Exactly.
You don't catch a disability, you become disabled.
You know,
temporarily, sometimes permanently.
Permanently, yes.
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
Dennis.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
I know the Rosalind is called the... the voice of the disabled community, the champion of persons with disabilities, said she had gone on the buses and she was able to get on and off by herself, and she enjoyed her trip on the bus. And I hope that encourages persons with, let's say, challenges to be able to enjoy the Transport Board's new buses. And I would urge members of the public, if you happen to see someone who does have a disability sitting or standing or waiting by a bus shelter that doesn't provide for the step down, the smooth entrance and exit of the bus, do you give them some assistance should they require it? You know, today is me, tomorrow is you kind of thing. Could happen. The caller just off the line who made the comment about persons with disabilities, please give our producer a call, 434-1790. There's someone who wants to get in touch with you, hopefully to respond to your query. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sir Dennis.
Yes, my lord.
Why, I didn't and can't call in.
But
I listened to a gentleman just now who was questioning you pertaining to the blacklisting.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he didn't understand.
Yeah, I have called I have called Kevin to call me back.
Yeah.
I hope you don't mind me calling in, Kevin, though. Anyway, Mr. Hunt, the director of international business, asked if he could just clear it up, and I told him, sure, the producer will call him. Tell me.
Yeah, but don't think that he is the only one that don't understand a lot of things in this country. I can give you two things that came up recently with people that I was dealing with. I gave a man a lift from Lower State to Buffer. And the question he asked me, this by election that coming up, all the weekend got vote in St. George. He lives in St. Philip, yeah? I had to explain it to him with the difference between a by election and a general election. But he was hoping that them guy vote, he lived all in St. Philip, but he was hoping that he would be able to vote in the by election.
He was serious?
He wanted to son. The other one that I came up only Monday, which is yesterday, giving some fellas a little drink, and they was talking, and a man came up and asked if Toni Moore would be Lady Moore if she go in the upper house. You understand what I tell you? If she go into the upper house, if she would become Lady Moore, because Sir Roy Troutman became Sir had general secretary and was in the house, so as she would have to go in the upper house, the lower house, in order to get Lady Moore.
So that's people having rum shop talk and trying to get you to buy more drinks, man. Come on, be serious. but let me say on a serious note though, let me say to you that sitting here, I have some concerns when I look at some of the queries coming up on the WhatsApp, for example, that we do have a serious lack of understanding of civics, government, and the operations of our parliamentary democracy, let me call it that, with members of the general public. Because while the comments you may have, you know, been sharing may have come from people who wanted you to buy drinks for them, I don't I don't believe that the person's asking me the questions online expect me to buy drinks for them. But some of the questions, one of the questions that kept coming up more than one is, if Mr. Reefer wins the seat, what becomes of Bishop Athley? Because people do not understand the designation of a leader of the opposition or the leader of the opposition, what it means, how it is appointed. And there is some confusion in their minds as to what happens in those circumstances. And when I try to explain to them that the leader of the opposition, the position leader of the opposition, is the determination of Her Excellency, of the person most capable of commanding the majority of people in the House that do not support the government. Now, the challenge for Her Excellency will be, as happened in one case that I can recall, in the not too different past, distant past, when you even have two persons in the House of Assembly who may come from the same party, but don't want to recognize either or the other as being their leader because of their personal leadership ambitions. Now, when things like that happen, Her Excellency has to make a determination.
Dennis, will you remember that one clearly.
Of course I do.
That happened between David Thompson.
I ain't calling nobody name. They just tell me don't call people that. Yes, sir. That happened between David and Dennis. Look, and here's the thing. The leader of the party was then in the Senate, right? Or he wasn't?
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
so you had a leader of the party in the Senate.
And then the leader of the opposition.
But he was not the leader of the opposition in the lower house, correct? Right. And you had. But hold on. Here's the thing. It is important. It is vitally important that our citizens, if they are to be, if they have to make sound judgments, understand how the democracy functions.
Yes.
Because if they don't, you're shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
So if you have people who believe, I go in and vote for Miss X because he can go in the house and he can be the leader of the opposition, and then he is not, then what?
Yeah.
Then you're disappointed because you didn't do the, anyway.
Like now, Dennis, the last thing. Now, whether you like it or not, you would always get a lot of questions coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are not a moderator who interrogates callers. You always educate them. You don't interrogate them. Now, let me say this to you. Something, I heard a record this morning, playback. Now, let me ask you a question. In your opening program as the educator, could you have a theme song, or could you play a song before you come on after your then you come on your program? Could you start your program, and from the time we hear this particular song, you even know that this is Dennis? Could you do that?
I've done that when I was hosting fireworks. I had a special theme.
I asked you know if you could do it now.
No, I don't have the power to do that.
Because.
Because I don't have a regular place.
I saw that. I listened to a song this morning that was very educational.
Mm-hmm.
A song by Sugar Aloe named The Poor Man. And I would like you, if it is possible, in any of your programs, to keep playing this record until this by election day. Because I make up in my mind from this morning, I would not be commenting on any politics pertaining to by election. I prefer to hear educational phrases and do some historical look back. But politics, I have been there. I understand both sides. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep quiet and register within my mind what is going on in the island.
Let me tell you why that's a difficult thing for me to do, right?
Right.
Because from time to time, depending on the circumstances of the day, or the mood I'm in, or what I want to say, I could play a song that's my theme song simply because that's what I'm thinking, like the old man, the young boy, and the donkey. or another day I might choose to, play something else. Love me for what I am or something like that.
Yeah, you know something? You sit back and you look at your past and you see, like, you went down the road and then you get down by the bottom of your gap. A dog bung out. And bite you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time you left one, you get by that gap, you can study that dog.
Correct. Walk around the.
Right?
Walk around the.
I reached the stage, I sit back, and I said, see this politics, see these two political parties. I went there.
Done that?
I was knockabout. And then I was promised, and I still found the same position. And when I see these people right in my eyes, I will always say, why should somebody think about these people when you know that these people have done so much damage to humankind? And Dennis, I finish on that.
All right, sir. Let me say to you, however, right, that until we change our system of representation, until we've gone past the stage where we vote for people because we like them, or we vote for people because we like the party, regardless of what the party stands for today or tomorrow, or whether the persons who represent the party are representing our interests or their own, we will continue to be faced with this system. We haven't come up with another one that goes beyond it. Look at what's happening. I don't like to switch so much to U.S. politics when talking politics, because U.S. politics is about money. It's about cash and who could buy the most. Because every time they talk about what polls, they talk about how much money has been raised and how much has been spent and who have the bigger war chest. So it's a case of buying votes in a smart way. But look at the United States, where for years, presidents were selected by this thing called the special setup they have, not by the popular vote, this special system they have. Then along comes a television star who gets to the presidency. All of a sudden, all over the news media in the United States, when I go online and check, everybody who is a popular television personality is now being seen as a future president, including the lady who went all to Britain and married a prince and moved back to the United States with him. What has she done? What's her bona fides? What, you know, what's her social outlook? What's her philosophy? No, she's just a popular person. So, you know, she wants to be the next president, or Oprah should be the president, or, you know. So if you don't watch television, you don't know who Oprah is, you'd sit there going, who is this Oprah person? You know. Representation of the people have moved from someone with a philosophy, someone with a vision, someone with a desire to uplift the masses, to who we see regular on TV and just talk nice. That's what it's become. How popular the person is. How nice they look, you know, on TV. So I don't disagree with you. Thank you, the Electoral College. I pay little attention, as I say, to the US because their system is about money. Thank you for people on the WhatsApp who like to keep me abreast of the happenings. The Electoral College, that, by the way, they want to get rid of because it ran in counter to the popular vote. Or it didn't go the way they thought it would go the last time. You know, and here's what's fascinating to me. This was the country that was looked up to as the bastion of democracy. Where would they use their power and their might to teach us little wandering folk? Went into places to democratize it. And need a little assistance, no, apparently. That's why I like the road I walk. It's lonely, it's dark. But I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of the light with dark people in it. I got a notice from the newsroom about the DEM urgent caution. Unfortunately, trying to open it, it's too small. The print is very fine. I'm having difficulty opening it and trying to read it. So as soon as I can, I will try so to do. It came from the head of news, and I don't know if you can try to send it to open it a little. Well, it's coming up. It's two very tiny pages side by side, and I'm unable to read it. Brastax, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Dennis. Hello.
Good afternoon. Hello. Yeah, hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
How are you?
I am all right, thank you. And you?
About the same.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, that is.
I hope that's good.
Yeah, man. I can hear the invoice.
You think so? Okay. All right.
Yeah. What's right now, you, a quotation crossed my brain. But not being, or having been a good literature student, I wouldn't hazard a guess as its origin. And it used to say, what it said, pray tell me why should a new year begin in winter? You may be able to help me with its origin. But I say now, pray tell me, why should an election be held in rain and COVID upswing? What was the reason Mr. Johnson tendered for this, for the occasioning of this by-election?
the desire of the holder of the seat to move to another area of representation of the people of Barbados overseas, necessitated by the bringing home of that person from overseas to fill a vacancy in the Senate. I don't know, sir. I ain't a political leader. I don't make them discuss them decisions. I just speculate like the average
Joe. That's how we came across to you. It is either one or the other. For one to move, one got to move. So it's either the person in Canada coming home or the person in Barbados want to give it up. But what I'm saying is, how often Dennis Johnson, sorry to use your name, writes a letter to his boss and say I'm retiring?
You'll be surprised how often I've done that.
I know how to come around the racket and float it. Back of the yard.
You'll be surprised to know how often I've done that. Not retire either.
I'm going to tell you, hold on a little bit, reconsider it.
I have been told that by at least one CEO, yes, sir.
Lovely.
Twice.
So I thought I was the only person thinking about that until I heard Bishop Avily this morning in a statement, an early statement. I didn't hear it in the later newsreel. But I'm saying the reason being advanced for that could be Mr. Johnson right now. Barbados is in such a tailspin in trying to get this COVID brought under control, to be understood. And at the same time, we are in the peak of the two rainiest months of the year. And the conditions do not lend to the improvement or the stemming of the tide of the COVID. So I think Mr. Clark could have been told, look, hold on for a few months. Somebody up the road will do that job as a career diplomat. Let's at least get into the good part of the year. And the thing about it is not a marginal seat.
But, sir, a couple of things for you as someone who I think, well aware of politics.
Yes.
Is this. It is the midterm, little over midterm of the government.
Yes.
Here's an opportunity to retool, catch the opposition with their pants around their ankles because they didn't seem to, in your opinion, as the leader of the party, be as organized as they should be 2.5 years along or 2 years along. There seems still seem to be some disarray.
Two and a half,
right. So as a strategist, if you're listening to your political strategist, the strategist says to you, look, retool, reorganize, take control here. So bring home someone who can work the Senate for you, free up this person from the Senate, move that person from there, give that person a different assignment, get out some of the older heads and start bringing in fresh blood so you have continuity and you don't end up in the situation that you seem to think the opposition is in. So you have at least a year and a half to blood some new faces, call an early election, and stretch your mandate. It's a strategy. So to do that, you have to move some chess pieces around. Now, whether you think it's safe to do so in the in what you call a COVID environment that you don't have under control, you were down to 5 people in isolation, so you figured you had it under control.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes?
I am not influenced by what has just happened. That cluster outbreak. Okay?
Okay, all right.
Would you chance a country's health? Would you chance morbidity? Would you chance all those things or run the risk, titrate them against testing a midterm?
Yeah, why not? Because you have it under control.
Pardon?
You say you have it under control.
You don't have it under control.
But how you know that, sir?
You
went down to zero. You open the country, you only have 5 in isolation, you got it under control.
Mr. Johnson, there are statistics which are used so many and so many per 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
That is the yardstick that you use. You don't use, say, four to div. You look back and you say, how many did you have a week ago? How many do you have now? When you are interpreting a science, you do not do it by absolute figures. You do it by something called, nor averages.
If you are a scientist. If you are not average as you feel.
Then, Mr. Johnson, you wonder, but why it is that these big countries does look at we so? Because there is an international, let me take out your word science. There is an international yardstick. Just as how we are now paying by the OECD and the EU for things which the present administration did not commit. But the whole thing of government is something called a continuum. So there are certain standards. You heard the big word best practices and all that. Now, let us look down. In the law of torts, you ask something like, was it in your, did you, in your humblest contemplation, expect so-and-so to happen? Did the administration, let's say you open up now a whole hot spot in St. George.
Mm-hmm.
The question would be asked, did you in your humblest contemplation anticipate anything like that? If that is the case, you were never prove it for ourselves. Look at Trinidad. Look at Jamaica. Look at Guyana.
What happened to them?
After election, there was a noticeable increase in the COVID.
And they didn't. And they say that nothing to do with that.
That don't. But listen, Mr. Johnson.
Yes.
That's the thing about testing. If each time you throw, you get a 3, a 3, a 4, a 3, the average got to be 3.5.
So
don't let anybody come and tell you that sort of. The experts tell you it is against bringing together. If you are telling a church not to sing glory, hallelujah, clap, and give praises and assemble, but you can go and get up. The whole thing about an election, especially in the Caribbean, is about keeping enough noise, zip up the spirit. People, the whole thing about social distancing goes through the window. The whole thing about masking goes through a window of protection.
Have you seen evidence of that?
You go into your rum shop till 2 o'clock. Argument break loose. All hell break loose in heaven. So I am saying, I know you ain't going to tell me when you become prime minister, you will look at that. I know you are not that.
No, I'm not going to do that. What I'll tell you is this.
Right.
You know, this is the underlying thing that I think we need to keep in focus.
Yes.
In Trinidad and Tobago,
yeah.
And in Jamaica,
yeah.
There was evidence of or suspicions of community spread.
Yes.
And therefore, the decision to hold elections there had to be measured against how you're affecting the community, how it will affect. They had carnival too in Trinidad.
Yes,
right?
And they had people asking
to come back. No.
As a matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
That carnival one is the one that clean bowled me. I thought that I would have seen, but maybe the seeds had not been sown by then. Because
mm-hmm.
if you check this whole COVID, it is a physics something, you know. You see so many weeks, Italy broke up before Spain, and then so many weeks,
And then people said opening schools would cause this, and opening schools would cause that, shut down bars. So the problem is, in those situations, the government weighed their options and decided, okay, safeguards, we'll do certain things, we'll have our election. There was a low turnout in some areas, but you still had spikes. Barbados had neither suspicions of or confirmation of community spread. And therefore, the risk of persons going out, sitting down at a public meeting,
mm-hmm.
once they kept and adhered to the protocols, they should have been fairly safe.
Don't go so fast. So what is the rationale of still keeping? I went to a couple funerals within the past month. What is the rationale behind keeping you well-spaced, writing out all the information, your address, your telephone numbers, your email, and what is the reason for if not having the choir singing? And what the reason was given? Listen, we have not passed the worst yet. You still
Correct.
Have to be keep your foot on the brake.
Correct.
But you cannot have two rules, one for the church
and close meetings, and another for the political class. You are sending the wrong message to the people.
Sir, it is not for the political class. And here's the difference that I will make, right? Here's the challenge that I'll make. Perhaps that's why I'll never be involved in politics. I know, I dropped my voice on purpose so that you could come closer to the phone. Let me say this to you. Let me say this to you, okay? Barbadians believe that they should go to church because their spiritual food is necessary. All they need to do is say, I don't need political food, I stay at home.
Yeah.
Good. And don't go to the meeting.
Then there is the other, I don't buy that one.
But I ask you to buy it, I give you for free. Let me say this to you though. Let me be serious.
Element. Not only that, when you go, you never, well, I shouldn't say that.
You should.
Canvassing, I've got to be very quick with you. I've got to be very fast with you.
I noticed.
Canvassing encompasses going and knocking out a window. Morning. Anybody there? Yes, as Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson ain't coming to you in the mass on. You're saying whenever you're in close, you're telling the school children this, you know. Mr. Johnson, you on the register? I don't know. Well, all right, hold on. Let me look and see if you're gone down. You Dennis? Dennis J? Yeah. All this is conversation. You ease down your mask, you know, a little bit. All right, ease it up so that Mr. Johnson could hear. I didn't see you here, Mr. Johnson. How long you been living out here? Go and bring your ID. So Mr. Johnson gone and out his ID and bring it back out. You got no to fill that out. You fill out the form. Fill out that, Mr. Johnson. Sign, Mr. Johnson. You have done everything that World Health Organization, remember the minister, is always quick to quote World Health Organization, and I don't fault him for that. But you now have done everything that World Health Organization has told you not to do. And the other thing is, those persons who are of age and are more susceptible. I think I heard you use the word comorbidity this morning.
I didn't, but that's a word I use all the time.
Somebody, right. Now, comorbidities and age. Make care, bring you into either on the line, over the line, or above the line. Our Prime Minister, I think, is 50. Gone. So you got PM, you got Marshall. I don't think you'd want to pull me up and say honorable. When you're talking politics and talking history, you use the surname. You got Marshall, you got Penn, and you got Prescott, who is 70s. Minister Ford, who is there or thereabouts, teetering on 70. Then you have some who have, as we all know, they've undergone treatment in recent times. Right, oncogenic treatment, and they are highly susceptible. When you're done, Mr. Johnson, who are left to go forward? I'm not saying that I'm caring for them. I am saying that every bracket, every guideline, and you are introducing the potential of a pandemic to a nice, breezy, fresh country air, unpolluted. You only got to go up there and spread it. Hold on, you got 29 seats. You can't get one more. You already have it. And the other thing now is when I hear the scheduling of broadcast, political broad election campaign broadcast. That I think that comes under Cap 12. I know this thing, Gideon.
Apparently, some of it.
It falls under Mr. Johnson.
Yes,
you know that falls under the purview of the Electoral and Boundaries Commission and the Chief Electoral Officer. That has nothing to do with with cabinet. That's the other thing. But
and why have none of those persons said anything?
I don't know, Mr. Johnson.
Sam, that's exactly my point, sir. You see, this is where, right? This country is not served, as I think it should be, by the people who we appoint to be gatekeepers. Because if we leave it to politicians and political operatives to point out what is right and what is not right, people will continue to view it through political lenses and say, oh, he making a political point because he no longer on that side. Or he now cross over on that side and he get what he want, so he now think. If all gatekeepers do not keep the gate, then the dogs get out and run riot. They skin over the garbage, they attack people, and they do all sorts of other things. You see, look, One, church services are kept indoors. They say indoors are more susceptible to the transmission than outdoors. Political meetings are generally held outdoors. So you have a difference in operation. People will find a reason to justify whatever action they take or don't take. And unfortunately for us, and this again I will say is my major concern, our gatekeepers do not keep the gate. So we have an ombudsman who don't ombuds. We have a fair trading commission that people don't see as being fair. We have all these agencies set up and people don't know. I have seen numerous questions about what is an independent senator and whether or not Senator Moore should or should not resign. And rather than persons being educated on what an independent senator means by persons who have no political axe to grind, but understand how the parliamentary democracy works in Barbados, it has led to political operatives or persons who support or don't support a party to explain. And then people don't take the explanation because they think it's coming from a political source. So we have a problem in this country with credibility and gatekeepers doing what they're supposed to do. So if the Elections and Boundaries Commission knows that it is their responsibility to determine political broadcasts, when, where, how, and why, and their corns were stepped on, they have one or two options. Either saying that they gave permission for the information to be released or tendering their resignation, something that you asked me about earlier when you raised the flag. Because as I said, the former CEO of this company, now retired, Mr. Victor Fernandes, will tell you that at one point he said at a staff meeting, sorry, not a staff meeting, heads of department meeting, Mr. Johnson, don't place your resignation at my disposal again because I might be tempted to take it. Because you have a habit of doing that whenever you lay out a certain path and it's ignored and things fall apart. So just go in and fix it. So there comes a time when the gate has to be closed and the gatekeepers have to understand what is their responsibility. And that's to man the gate. I thank you for your contribution. Interesting comments. I've been told that the newsroom is trying to get some information from the Met Office. And as soon as we have that information, I will bring it to you. Brastax, good afternoon. Hello? 4341790. Oh, we do have it. I'm sorry. Thank you, John.
So first of all, Ms. Hanks, what reports do you have about flooding across Barbados right now?
We've seen a number of video footage with flooding, observed flooding throughout the island. More specifically, we've had here at the department about four or five flooding reports. Those are in Maycox Terrace in St. Lucie. We do have a report from Keane Garden in St. Thomas, Plainlands in St. Michael, and Warner's Gardens in Christchurch. Those we would have referred to the drainage unit for their further action and follow-up on the area. They pertain more to issues related to the drainage.
I know you've also issued a statement in relation to the flood warning that's been issued by the Met Office. What advice do you have for the public?
As customary, we remind persons that we are in the most active part of the hurricane season at this stage, and the occurrences of excessive rainfall can cause flooding, and this is very characteristic of this time of the year. We ask persons to remain alert and take the necessary precautions. And please do not attempt to traverse rising flood waters or wait for the water to subside. Again, monitor the media for any updates as they come to hand.
All right. I believe you also advise people to be ready to move in case the waters rise, correct?
Clear. Yes. We also encourage the public, if you need to evacuate, please have your go bags, your emergency kits ready to do so.
Right. I'm again reports myself of some roads where the water is fairly high. Have any reports about highways, and what advice do you have for motorists?
With respect to the highways and byways, as indicated before, I would encourage persons not to attempt to traverse the any rising flood waters and await the water to subside. When you're driving, it's important that you continue to be vigilant and be very careful when the rain is falling and in terms of traversing those rising flood waters if you see them on the highways.
And again, we're speaking to the director of the Department of Emergency Management, Kerry Hines, against the background of the Barbados Met Office urging residents and visitors across Barbados to brace for heavy rainfall over the next few hours. They've issued a flash flood warning for the island that's in effect up until 6 p.m. in the first instance. Ms. Hines, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. That's our head of news, Stetson Babb. Sorry, I misread John's signal there just now. And I'm sure you've heard that update. Again, would urge you to be cautious, to continue to listen out for updates, and to, as much as possible, try very hard to be safe in this environment. The ground will be saturated if it's not already saturated, and if there's more rainfall, it's likely that areas that are prone to flooding will do so. So if you can, make sure that things in your home, you lift it to a certain level if you're in a flood-prone area. Urge you to be cautious on the road. Hydroplaning is a challenge, and we urge you, please, please, be safe. Take care. And most likely, you will hear me again on Thursday. I'll be producing tomorrow, as I will the rest of the week. And I think I'll give John will be with me on Thursday. So on behalf of the team of John Stout, technical operator, producer, I'm Dennis Johnson. Have a good afternoon.